Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on an all-new Uncensored Radio, we're catching up with Ricky Lake.
Hi, it's Ricky.
You won an Emmy for Outstanding Talk Show. That
can you believe
has
it?
To be.
You will not want to miss this incredible interview.
You know, and the philosophy that when during your pregnancy you don't even take an aspirin because you don't want to do anything to compromise the fetus.
Right.
Or, but yet you go into a hospital setting when you're in labor, or they hook you up to an IV, they're giving you, you know, Pitocin and all these other drugs.
Let's get to it. An all-new Uncensored Radio starts right now.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want. Give it to you, not a scum. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio, a very, very, very special edition of Uncensored Radio. This show today, guys, oh my goodness, buckle your seatbelts. It's going to get good. We've got Miss Ricky Lake in the house on the show tonight. We are so excited. How is everybody doing? Jeffrey Emmett is in the house also. How are you, Jeffrey?
I am fabulous. I'm just over here kind of like, go, Ricky, go, Ricky, go, Ricky.
It's so exciting, right? It's like we're on the countdown, the big countdown till she calls in. We've got Mike J in the house, who was responsible for getting this lovely lady on our show. We're so honored. Mike J, how are you?
I am doing well, everyone, and I am so excited for when we get to chat with Ricky later. And, you know, on more of a personal note for me, I'm just finally so glad that I booked a real celebrity and not a porn star, so we can finally let that live down.
you were out the doghouse, homeboy, because, yeah, you were one in one on a porn star only. And
I know, I swear, it was like, you know, book a porn star, and then next thing I know, I was, like, shafted and fired, and it was just bad. I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. Too hilarious. We also got Miss LaToya Nash in the house tonight. LaToya, how are you?
I'm well. How is everyone doing? Happy to be here. I'm so excited about Ricky Lake. Oh, my God.
I know. We're Ricky Lake excited. It's like a whole other kind of excitement.
Yeah.
And as you know, Katrina Johnson will be joining us later for the actual interview. But, yeah, Michael J., I mean, let's talk about the butterflies that are in your stomach, because you are, to date, the number one Ricky Lake fan ever. And I'm sure people are wondering, how the hell did he go from booking a porn star to actually booking a celebrity like Ricky Lake?
You know,
I'm really curious to hear this, too.
Yeah. How did it happen?
Oh, my gosh.
How did this happen?
You know, it's actually kind of a very crazy, funny, roundabout story. Back in the day, during Ricky's first talk show, I actually ran a very successful fan website. It started, gosh, back in 1999. Can you believe that? Before the new millennium. You know, and I was all freaked out because, you know, I spent all this time designing the site, and then I thought the whole thing was going to blow up, you know, during Y2K. But, you know, 13 years later, we're still here. I did the website and whatnot, and, you know, in the past probably recent years in my more adult life, you know, I haven't really kept up with it. It's something that it fell by the wayside, you know. And I'm sure, like, you know, Ricky could attest to, we move on. We grow up, and who we were yesterday may not necessarily be who we are today. But I still had the web addresses, the domain names and stuff, and, gosh, it seems like it was a month ago now that we've been setting all this up. I got a very strange email from some sort of, you know, privacy service or something, because, you know, being a high-profile public figure that I am, all of my domain names have privacy on them, so you all can't send a Christmas card with anthrax in it or something. especially all,
yes,
you know,
because you're going to be the target.
He's so technical.
Well,
he's
you know,
so technical.
I am. Well, I'm nervous after.
He might be.
I'm nervous after what I said about Andy Lopez last week. If you didn't listen, go back on demand, myuncensoredradio.com. So, you know, we got emailing back and forth, and then, you know, Jeff got involved because Ricky follows us on Twitter, so we DM'd her. Long story short, we ended up confirming everything with Ricky's assistant, who is fantastic in helping set all this interview up. And, you know, more or less, that's kind of the story.
Shout out to Ricky. What's the assistant's name? Because we got to give them a shout out. I mean,
Caroline, and you know, Caroline was, you know, great in helping, you know, frame the interview questions with us and get everything all set up and help
hey, girl,
get everything on gear.
Well, you know, we have to think too. It's Brian. Yeah. He knows who he is. I'm not going to say his last name on the air, but Brian, thank you if you're listening. We love you, and I can't wait to do lunch when we're in LA.
Right.
Yeah, Brian was a big help, too. It was like, a you know, the stars and fate or karma or whatever you believe in just all sort of aligned for this to work out.
Right.
You know, super
no,
psyched.
But seriously, like, you got to give up the love to, like, these personal assistants because a lot of times you get in touch with their people and the personal assistant will get it and they're the ones who kind of filter through, like, the nonsense. They kind of go, yeah, let me ask them, or no, and you know, they're like the direct link, and so a lot of times, it's because of the personal assistant that they actually make a lot of things happen. Like, I don't know, I was a huge fan of Entourage, and I'm not getting off the subject, but like Entourage, I love that show because it showed the power of the assistant. Like, everybody had to go through Ari's assistant, and that assistant ended up being a top agent, and the, you know, it was kind of like the course of what happens, but yeah, shout out to the assistants who always kind of undercover make things happen for little guys like us. But yeah. Because the thing is with someone like Big Lake, I mean, we obviously have some amazing listeners. We've been able to build a show from nothing, from, you know, a couple listeners to over 100,000. And, you know, but having someone like Ricky Lake, it brings like a whole different demographic just to listen to us. And we're very honored for you new listeners. So you can listen to us, you know, like they said, Monday through Friday, we're on all the time. And sometimes we have special guests, and sometimes we're just talking about things that are on our minds, what's going on. And we've got, you'll see, a wide variety of crazy hosts that just keep it real and keep it uncensored. So it's almost time for her.
Definitely crazy. You know, I think it's amazing that it started with one little show, and now we have multiple shows. We have Jake Pentland on Saturdays. But I think it's crazy, and I'm so blessed that we were able to work this out. And, you know, one of the things Ricky's going to be talking about this evening is her documentary, The Business of Being Born, which to me is fascinating, you know, doing the daycare and everything. I love babies, and I think it's so neat. So, girls, would you ever consider a home birth? Like, I think that's the big question, because that's kind of what it's all about, is having a home birth.
Absolutely not.
No.
And Ricky Lake may change her mind after I get to know her and hear how fabulous she is. But after watching the documentary, she is like, she's more woman than I think I'll ever be. And I commend her. I commend her on so many levels because I admired her. I mean, you think about it. She really, what I admire most about Ricky Lake and what I admired about her talk show back in the day and then her recent talk show was before that, you know, think about it. Before that, daytime talk was always catered to, like, stay-at-home moms or older demographics. She was really the first talk show that kind of included the rest of us, included the younger demographic, the up-and-coming, you know, younger adults, up-and-coming, you know, you're trying to make it in life. You know, she was the girl who kind of included us, and we got a voice.
Smart lady.
You know, yeah, network TV almost was like, oh, wow, we didn't realize you watched daytime talk also, you know, and so, I mean, I can't wait to meet her, and maybe she can change my mind about home birth, but woo! I don't know.
Let me tell you, nobody's changing my mind. I will be at the hospital with everything they have, period.
Right.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Do your thing. But here's the other question. Why is everybody saying documentary? I'm just curious.
They mess me up, these weirdos over here who are from the East Coast. Say it a funny way, and so then they trip up my words. Like, what?
No, listen, I have been trying to change the way I say my certain sayings and phrasings on this show because you all have made me so
They say all of them. It's elementary. They say documentary. They say all these, like, funny little words.
I don't know. There's, like, so much emphasis on the Terry part of it. I mean, honestly, you know, I blame Jeff's fiance or Jeff's husband's fiance's. I'm totally tripping that up. Jeff's husband's mother, Teresa, who I nicknamed Terry, that gets stuck in my brain. So I just want to say Terry all the time.
Yeah.
No, and she hates that, by the way. She really could punch you in the face every time you call her Terry. She really hates it. But I think it's just because we're closer to England, really. But, yeah, we do have funny things.
That one too. Yeah. Buffalo, New York, and Rhode Island are closer to England.
Yeah, that's what
it
is.
We're,
you know.
Us on the East Coast over here. I'm going to start saying schedule instead of schedule.
Yeah.
Well, and just listen.
West Coast girls. Us West Coast girls, we're going to keep it easy and go documentary. Right?
So,
did I say
that? Ricky
did they mess me up again?
No, you didn't.
You
Bill said it like this. It's documentary.
See?
And you can't blame it on British because it would be...
Documentary.
Exactly. Documentary.
So,
period.
We all just need to pay attention. We won't say anything to Ricky, but let's hear how she says it because her first show was filmed in New York. So it'll be a little test. So everybody pay attention. Listeners, pay attention, and we'll see how Ricky says it. And then we'll discuss it tomorrow.
We should have a drinking game every time the word documentary is said. Our documentary.
Oh, no. I don't think we'd make it through we wouldn't make it through 60 minutes of show.
Take a shot of tequila every time you hear it.
I was like, was there a press release? Was there? I mean, because that's just like people... You know, after grad school, well, during grad school, I learned that it is now, you know, it has been for a while PC to just say actor. There's no more actress because an actor by design can play anyone. We don't say lawyeress. We don't say dentist-ess. We don't say doctoress. So why say actress? And if you look at some of the award shows now, they say female actor or male actor. And it is so funny when I meet people and they ask what I do, and I say I'm a singer and an actor, and they say, oh, you mean actress? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like you don't know the work that you actually do. No, that is a very interesting point.
They immediately think you're dumb. They immediately think you're dumb because you're actually in an industry that's built on hopes and dreams.
I mean actor, and I have to break it down to them, and then they're like, but I mean, come on. Like, you don't just, I just told you what I did, and you tried to correct me on it. Hilarious. So,
well, you know,
I didn't know if something came out about documentary or what. I was like, is that what we're doing now? Documentary.
Well, you know, when we were in school, like, the teacher, Michael, would always try to, you know, pick up different words or, you know, say things differently. So he'd be like, you know, the process. Not the process,
ew,
the process. Or mature.
I watched a lot of BBC as a kid, okay? BBC America? Anybody? Anybody? No?
Yes,
right.
I love it.
All
your fault, Mike Jay.
I blame Mike.
But they don't say documentary in British. They would say documentary. They wouldn't say documentary. They wouldn't do
they
it.
They would. You're right
they
about that.
It.
I'm not sure where the Terry thing comes in. I still blame Joe's mom, but, you know.
They're really funny because he doesn't say bagel. He says bagel. Like, and it's a Buffalo thing because we question some of his friends.
Like addiction. Like, he needs to learn the proper pronunciation of things, Mike Jay. Do we need to, like, do you need a class for that?
Why are you all picking on me all of a sudden? Jeff is the one that starts. He says it, too. He's the one that says elementary.
He does.
And documentary.
It's your fault.
It ain't right.
No, it's not my fault.
Okay, I got to get back to this. Now, girls, see, here's the thing you don't understand. You're all like, no, the home birth, and we'll talk about it more later. But 70%, 70 to 80%, every other country but the USA, births happen with midwives and they're at home. Like, it's crazy. Like, in America.
That's wonderful for them. I'm just saying I'm going to be at the hospital.
Well, no, and I think that's something like that's the great thing I think about this documentary.
What is it, right?
Still can't say it.
I know. Shush. Oh, dear.
You did good.
That, you know, I'm working it out. is, you know, they present both sides in this. You know, it's not like, you need to go do this. It's not judgy. It's not throwing it in your face. Yeah. But it's just giving you the information, and that's what I really love about it. And the fact that she took her time to put her name on something like this, that's just educating women and to let them know you do have options and there is choices. And a lot of the things that, you know, we think are accurate about birth may not necessarily be completely accurate. So it's just, it's really educational, and it's a fun video. And if you get emotional when babies are born or weddings, like, you probably want to make sure you have a box of Kleenex, because I cried a bitch.
And then listen, I mean, think about it. Like, most of us, at least at minimum, our grandparents were born with midwives, you know.
Right.
It's not uncommon, and you're not that far away from, you know, the non-hospital birth, that you're not that many generations away from it. So,
really not.
Yeah, I'm not saying in any way that it is a lesser approach there. And like you said, it's good to know that there are options. I'm just that type. If there's that one thing that could go wrong, it's usually me.
Right. Well, see,
you know,
and that's what
the fine print, that's me.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned about being born, you know, with a generational thing, because my grandmother on my mom's side was actually born at home, and they put her in the oven to keep her warm. It was like during a really cold, snowy winter night. Yeah. Yeah, for real.
There you go.
They put,
there you go.
That is not the opinion of UCR. That is the opinion of Mike J. And the fact of what happened to his crazy ass relatives in upstate New York in a blizzard. Please do not put your baby in an oven, because you will go to jail and be charged.
I'm not saying do an oven birth. I think he's just saying, you know, we're not that far away from other types of birth plans.
Right. I mean, Ricky did it in the bathtub. My great grandmother did it in an oven. You know, potato, potato.
Only on this show.
Man,
oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Dr. Troyer and bachelor's degree, Mike, those are very interesting stories.
I know for a fact my dad was born at home with a midwife and taken to the hospital the next day. So, and he, you know, he wasn't born in a major city. He was born in, like, a very rural area. So even though my mom was born in a hospital because she was born in a major city, he was not. And that's not, you know, that's my dad. And he's fine and healthy and wonderful.
Right.
So there
are
options, people.
That is crazy. So does that make me the oddball that I was born in the back of a cab?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Really?
I was not born. No, but that would have been great, though, if it was true.
That would make you so much cooler. I'm just
kidding. We're going to stop with a cab story, Mama.
Where's the mother's place when we need her? She's such a liar.
I know. But you know what's crazy, though? It's like in these videos with the natural birth, like, you know, you see in the, you know, hospital, you're watching TV, and these women are screaming, and the baby's, like, barely coming out, and the doctor's got to pull the baby. With these home births, like, they really need a baseball mitt, because the baby's just poof right out. It is the craziest thing ever. It's just, and they're like, grab the baby. It's like, you know, it really is like playing hot potato, because you got to grab that bitch when it comes out you, because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, it's amazing. So you have to check it out.
Wow.
You never know.
And babies
are not
bitches, by the way. Do not pay any
attention. I was about to say, can you repeat that?
I was hoping nobody caught that. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm vulgar. It happens.
We caught
you know,
and everyone else caught it.
You either ruin the joke or you have to point out my mistake. You're all a bunch of bitches.
Always. Yes,
you.
We are. And thank
Nobody
you.
Nobody thinks that's new, Jeff. Nobody's surprised by
welcome.
That. We're like, yeah, okay.
Didn't we do a whole show on that at one point?
Very well.
Yeah.
We probably did. I'm sure.
Probably did. Only on Uncensored Radio. No, and we say thank you and you're welcome at the same time.
Right?
Yeah.
We just don't want to be hitters. Because you know that the listeners will write us a letter and say, why is Jeffrey referring to unborn babies as bitches? We don't want any letters. Don't write us any letters. He's just very colorful in his language.
I'm sorry. I got confused.
I
was thinking of a
question about the documentary. I have a question about the documentary for those who've seen it, because I have not. Are they just pointing out options, or are they saying why hospital births are bad? Like,
no, they're not saying the hospital birth. They're not saying that it's bad at all.
They're just showing you the beautifulness of a home birth and having a midwife, and they show you one. Like, you see Ricky Lake having a baby. Like, it's deep.
And her executive producer, Abby, she had a midwife, and there was complications, so she ended up having to go to the hospital. So it was actually great because you got to see, you know, like, and you have to have a pregnancy that low risk, you know, because otherwise they do suggest you go into a hospital. But they do talk about in the United States, we have one of the highest infant and mother fatality rates in the world. It's actually disgusting. I think we're number 2 in the world for infant death, you know, it bursts. Like, it's kind of disgusting. And, you know, they talk about the drugs, Pitocin, and I cannot remember the name of the other one, that they were giving all throughout the 90s, and then they realized, like, there was birth defects and babies were dying and it caused all these other issues. So they're like, oh, we're not going to use that anymore. Right. Well, no, they still use Pitocin, but it was another drug that I cannot remember what the name is. That is not on the market anymore.
Jeff, we have the highest number of what?
Infant and mother fatalities, like in industrialized countries. Let me add that part
in.
Yeah, it's really scary when you actually look at the statistics.
Compared to Europe, you know, the statistics, like Jeff was pointing out, compared to Europe, we're on the other side of this, you know. And it's really mind-blowing. And one of the things I know you guys are going to take away from speaking with Ricky when we do that, you know, the next half of the show, it's all about choices. She's not presenting a one-sided argument. She's really sort of tearing the tape off or tearing the Band-Aid off to all these possibilities so that women and families have a clear choice of A and B. Because, you know, as it seems, really only A is being presented in the healthcare industry.
Right.
Right.
Well,
and the thing is, they talk about – sorry, go ahead.
No, I was actually going to say I'm really excited to get more clarification from her and just kind of get more information about it. But I'm also excited because I want to hear, like, you know, what's she up to now. I want to get the scoop on the, you know, talk show she recently had. I mean, I kind of want, like, the actor in me kind of wants, I want to see Ricky Lake in another movie. Like, I just think she's a wonderful actor, you know. So I'm excited to hear about this, but I'm sure, you know, we're going to ask her a lot of questions about a lot of other topics as well as, you know, get the scoop on the documentary. So it's going to be a pretty amazing interview. We've got, I mean, we've been planning for weeks of questions, and we got a lot of questions from our listeners. They've been Facebooking. They've been, you know, in our chat room. They're posting questions as we speak. So, you know, it's very, very exciting. Because we're going to try to throw some of those in, but we've worked really hard, and Mike Day's worked really hard on producing the show. So it's going to get good because, you know, I've seen her on other interviews, and she's not shy. She's very honest, and she's very upfront, and, you know, she just says it like it is. So it just gets exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, you know, Mike and I were just talking about before the show is the movies she's been in, and one of my favorites was Baby Cakes. And the fact that, you know, somebody, she went to college in Ithaca, and, you know, just being in all the John Waters films, and, you know, and she's mentioned, you know, she was obese, and she was in all these movies, she got the talk show, like, she's kind of had an amazing story and ride, you know, and I don't think it's typical for somebody to have the success that she had starting when you're overweight. So I think it's amazing, you know, and she's one of the lucky ones. So I'm kind of curious to see what she has to say about all that.
Me too. So, I mean, we're seconds away, minutes away from Ricky Lake. I mean, Mike Day, have you peed your pants yet? That's what I need to know.
No, trust me. Before the interview, I cleared my schedule. I took like half a day off from work to be able to make this all happen. And it's a funny story. When we were speaking with her, you know, the one day, you know, we scheduled this, and I come home, and I'm thinking, oh, it's the middle of the day. It should be quiet. And there's some guy in the apartment next to mine, like, banging. I was, you know, Jeff was there. I was, like, freaking out on the phone. I'm like, really? The one day, and someone next door has to be pounding.
Well, that's the thing. You're usually at work, so you don't know. He might bang every day, and you just don't know
true.
that's what he does when you're not there.
This is very true. I mean, you know, Slatersville, Rhode Island could be a very happening place when I'm not here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh, man. But, yeah, no, my heart's pounding. I'm excited, you know, because, like I said, she's just an amazing woman. She's an amazing actress. She's so accomplished, and she's obviously inspiration to us all because she kind of let us into her world every afternoon, you know. And it's like, it's one of those things, like, you feel like you know Ricky. You feel like you know Oprah. You feel like you know these people because you watch them every day. So it's like, I can't wait to, like, have a second and just hear her voice. And
how long
know,
ago was did she have the home birth? How long ago was the birth?
I want to say it was, well, it was with her second, and he's 12. So you figure 12 years ago.
Oh.
Okay. I'm not good with math.
Wow.
I'm not good with math.
Well, 12 years ago. That's all I need to know.
12 years ago. Probably. Approximately. Like, she actually filmed it. Like, it's one thing to do it, and, like, but she filmed it. So, I mean, it's like, there's no other reason. I mean, she really exposed herself emotionally, mentally. I mean,
physically.
There's no other, there's nothing other, you know, more exposing than birth.
No, I mean, I
yeah.
have to say, and I know, Jeff will agree with me on this one. Like, I thought I was going to be totally grossed out because if you guys haven't seen the documentary, it's on Netflix, it's on iTunes. You will really, really, no hands down, if you see an article or anything, you will see Ricky Lake, uncensored, give birth to her second son, Owen. And
yeah, you see a whole different side of Ricky Lake.
I thought I was going to be utterly grossed out on the floor, you know, as a straight-up, you know, gay man. Ew. It was really beautiful. I mean, I was like, tears. Like, oh, my God.
Well, Michael, you need to point out that you're not saying that you were going to be grossed out by Ricky Lake, but
no,
by somebody giving birth.
By, you know, birth. By birth. I mean, seriously, the whole thought of it. But
no,
it was
it is very beautiful.
Really beautiful. And what really blew my mind was, and I mean, you guys probably attest to this too, like, you know, we all have watched General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, you know, Grey's Anatomy, and we've seen, you know, dramatized birth where the woman is up, her legs are in the air, and there's a sheet, and people are screaming, and there's blood, and a baby pops out. Seeing Ricky's documentary and then the follow-up blew my mind of what I thought birth was. I mean, you guys have probably had this experience. You thought something was one way, and then it turns out it's completely another, or can be completely another way. Blew my mind. Really incredible.
I think it's getting close to that time.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, it's Ricky.
Hi, Ricky.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Am I calling at the right time?
Yes, you're right on spot.
Yeah, the Virgo and me.
It is a absolute pleasure to have you here on Uncensored Radio with us. You know, actor, talk show host, writer, and documentary filmmaker. It's such an honor to have you here with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Great to be here.
Thank you. Well, you know, you won an Emmy for Outstanding Talk Show. That
can you believe it?
Be...
It was probably one of the biggest shocks of my life, honestly. Because, and I'll be completely honest, you know, the show, the last, you know, I did my old show for 11 years, and I was, I think, nominated once, but, you know, there was a lot of backlash
sure.
in the media about the show being, you know, whatever, not good for young people. I mean, I think our show back then in the 90s was really a reflection of what young people were interested in, you know, it reflected
right.
who they were. And like it or not, you know, good and bad, it was really, you know, there were a lot of baby mama, you know, drag out things happening on the show. I mean, there
sure.
was a lot of, you know, heat, and there was a lot of fun. So we weren't recognized, you know, critically with my old show. And with the new one, you know, my idea with the new show was really that after making The Business of Being Born and doing more sort of advocacy, women's advocacy-focused projects, I wanted to do something where I felt like I could, you know, make a difference along the lines of Phil Donahue and the way he was, you know, something that was, you know,
right.
real meaningful television. That was the goal, and it didn't turn out to be that. You know, we did a handful of shows that I'm really, really proud of. We covered subjects in the last year on, you know, transgender children and weight loss. And I mean, some of the things were near and dear to my heart, but for the most part, the company that I was employed by really didn't have the same vision that I did, you know. And, you know, the show was canceled, and I was praying that it would be. I mean, I was just really unhappy and felt like, you know, this is not a project that was I did for money or I did to, you know, stay relevant. I did it because I felt like there was something to be said, you know, in this arena. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't pull in the audience. We didn't have great time periods. And one of the big things that happened is that we were cleared in a station in New York City that was on strike last September when we launched. So for the first, I think, month and a half, 2 months, we didn't have an audience in the number one market in the country. So that kind of really was disappointing. But in the end, right, when we had heard we were being canceled, and I was, of course, celebrating, you know, by myself, I found out that I was nominated, and I thought it was a joke. I thought I was on candid camera. I was like, you're kidding. There's no way. You know, it was just one of those things that I was just so taken aback. And I was going away on my vacation. My husband and I love to go to Spain. We go to Ibiza as much as we possibly can, and we had booked this trip, and so it basically conflicted with the Emmys, the daytime Emmys. And my friends are saying, you have to change your flight, you have to change your plans. I'm like, okay, it's a joke that I was nominated in the first place. There's no way I'm going to win. I'm not changing my plans. So I went to Ibiza and literally forgot about the Emmys. I'm not kidding. I forgot that it was even happening, because I never in a million years thought that, Steve Harvey was nominated and Dr. Oz and Anderson Cooper, all these, like, you know, amazingly talented hosts.
Sure.
I never in a million years thought that I'd have a chance in hell. And so I was asleep. You know, we had been out all day at the beach. I mean, I was in a coma in Ibiza. And our phone started blowing up at 4 in the morning, and my husband got out of bed and picked up one of the phones. I thought it was my kids or something. He thought it was my kids. And he's like, babe, you won. And my first response was, won what? I didn't even know. Wow. I didn't even know. And then I just laughed for 20 minutes. I thought it was so funny. You know, I thought the company I'd worked for, and particularly this executive that was in charge of my show, and, you know, he was horrible. I just knew it was the biggest kick in the ass to him that here I was honored. Just the biggest accolade. I mean, I honestly, I'm so grateful to have been, you know, to have won this award. I can't believe I can forever to my grave say that Emmy Award winning, you know, and I did work really hard, and I really gave it my all, but in the end, you know, I guess I only had to give a year, and I got that beautiful, precious award that I have sitting proudly in my living room.
Well, you did some really great stuff on that show. I mean, the one episode that sticks out with me, I started doing the clean diet lifestyle.
You did? Oh,
yeah,
really?
Because that guy with the cancer, and I've always struggled with my weight, so it really kind of, you know, stuck with me, and I was like, I had already just started it, so it was kind of amazing to see that on TV.
I mean, there were moments, but I mean, I want to give you, like, an example. Like, I wanted to take it further. I wanted it to, you know, I felt like I really fought to do the shows on birth. You know, I got to do two in the season, and I, you know, but those were my producer, my director, Abby Epstein. We had to really fight to get it the way we wanted it. You know, they wanted to, like, throw in some. I mean, it's sort of hard to describe. I mean, I nitpick because I really did have a vision for the show. I wanted to take topics and go deeper, and I think that's what I really believe the audience wants takeaway.
Absolutely,
they want more substance than fluff. And, you know, I guess, you know, the company I was employed by disagreed with me, and, you know, they went out and, you know, did Kris Jenner after me, you know, and I felt like, in watching a few of those shows, I felt like, you know what, she's the kind of talent that they should have had from the beginning. You know, not that she's, you know, she just is what she is, and it's, she's more fluff, you know, she's more about, like,
right,
oh, where'd you get that sweater? You know, and I'm more of like, okay, you know, one example, I remember I fought to do an hour on circumcision. I fought, like, really, and the executive in charge was like, you know, he's like, it's not complex enough. You either cut it or you don't. Like this was his take on it. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is like, this is a really topical conversation. It's a hot button topic, pun intended.
Absolutely.
You know, and anyway, we did do an hour on circumcision, and I did feel like it was a pretty good show. I think it could have been better, you know. But
sure.
Again, I think I'm not who I am today is not right for that genre anymore, you know? And not that I'm better than it or anything like that. I just think I have higher, I don't know. You know, after making my documentary, The Business of Being Born, and seeing this very personal project that I funded myself, I came up with the idea, I'd had this experience of two profound birth experiences. I put my, you know, money where my mouth is. I worked on it for 3.5 years. I took a lot of heat when it came out. The AMA came after us. And seeing the impact that this little baby project has had on the world, not just in the country, but, like, you know, our home birth rate in the country has skyrocketed in the last, you know, I don't know, last few years. And a lot of people are crediting our film for educating and empowering mothers-to-be with the choices that they have. I mean, that's where I'm at in my life. That's the kind of impact I want to have. And, yes, it'll be on a smaller scale because I can't expect a studio to get behind, you know, my little ideas that I have. But that's okay. You know, I was lucky enough to make enough money in my earlier career that I can, you know, wait for those smaller, more meaningful opportunities to come my way.
Absolutely. And it really shows in the documentary, The Business of Being Born, how personal it really was for you. I mean, I laid it
all out. I mean, you know, I still look back on it and think how could I possibly have let them use that footage of me giving birth? As much as it's an incredible moment, you know, it's not a very flattering image. You know, I was terrified of that. But you know, I mean, I think you got to be fearless, especially when it comes to something you really believe in so strongly. So, you know, it was a great life lesson for me, and I'm so proud of this film. And anybody that comes up to me and tells me how much that film moved them or impacted them and their choices and their future, you know, in having children, or, I mean, that's what I want my legacy to be, you know. And it's been the most rewarding project probably of my life.
And it's a
really
fantastic one. It really, really is. I run a daycare by day, and we have a foster child. And, you know, kids are my life. So watching a documentary, like, I was so moved. Like, every time a baby was born, I was crying. It was ridiculous. My husband's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, you are watching with me tonight. We're watching it. You're going to sit down, and you're going to watch this baby come out of Ricky Lake because it's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. And the fact that you were brave enough to put that on there just was amazing to me.
I give a lot of credit. I thank you so much. I give a lot of credit to Abby Epstein, who's still my partner in crime, and she was amazing because, you know, we were friends. We'd worked together on a play called The Vagina Monologues in New York, and we became friends. You know, and when I told her I was having a home birth, I was pregnant right around the time we were working together, and she's like, you're crazy. I mean, she was not even thinking of having children. She didn't even know what a midwife was when I hired her. And, you know, got pregnant halfway through the making of the film and then was brave enough to let us turn the cameras on her. And ultimately what happened to her in the film really kind of gave the film a lot of balance. And, you know, she's amazing. And, you know, I think it's amazing to be able to have an empowered and beautiful birth experience and, of course, a healthy baby. But that possibility, that opportunity really stays with you in every other aspect of your life. When a woman can feel, can get in touch with her power and can be an active participant during the most incredible rite of passage, I think, in your lifetime. You know, when you're born, you're born, you can give birth, and you die. I mean, I can't think of any other, you know, more meaningful and profound experiences. But to be able to feel your power and to connect and to feel like you're in charge of your body and to see life come out of you, you know, I mean, it's just an opportunity that I don't want women to not have because of, you know, misinformation or fear, you know.
No, I think that's great.
And let me also add that I'm not telling people that the only way to give birth is drug-free and out of a hospital. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, you can have an empowered birth anywhere. And, you know, so it's just, I try to be very clear that I don't want necessarily women to do exactly what I do. It's not, you know, I'm not saying that at all. I just want people to have the education and to have access to choice.
Well, I know, of course. I think that's really, you know, one of the things that is put out there in the film is it's all about choice. And I think one of the things that I actually took away when I was watching it and I wanted to ask you about was it seems like when you end up in the hospital or when women end up in the hospital, is there some sort of their decision-making ability on themselves is taken away? It seems like everything is just turned over to the doctors
Well, I mean, I don't want to generalize 100% because I do think there's amazing hospitals out there. There's amazing obstetricians that really think like more like a midwife. I mean, you know, but yes, I mean, look at the hospital system. You know, we grew up thinking doctors know best. You know, you in a hospital setting is scary. It's where people go to die and are sick and need medical intervention. But when you're pregnant, I believe it's not an illness. You're not sick. You know, but if you have obviously a high-risk situation or you have a complicated pregnancy and issues, I mean, certainly a hospital is where you want to be when that is the case. But my philosophy is, you know, when I got pregnant, I was healthy, and I had no you know, issues that came up with either of my children. And I really, you know, really love the midwifery profession and the way they, you know, they treat pregnancy and delivery and labor. So, I, you know, but it's a personal choice, and it's, you know, most women in this country are much more comfortable in a hospital setting, and I understand that. But I think, you know, when you look at the pros and cons of all the interventions that are given as a protocol, you know, just as a norm, you know, the minute you walk in the hospital, they hook you up to an IV. I mean, I didn't like that. Why do I need fluid? I'm going to drink on my own. You know, I just question the protocols that are put in place. But that was, again, my own personal choice.
But I think it's really scary for women. And, you know, just having the daycare, and I run into so many expecting moms, I always suggest that they watch your video. And I have a friend that just did a home birth. She's had two now. And she said it's the most amazing experience of her life, and she's actually coming over this weekend with her video. I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love
those
videos. I love particularly ones that are out of hospital. You know, they're incredible. Yeah. Oh, I've been able to attend a few births, and there is this magic electricity that is in the air, and it takes your breath away. It's magic, you know. It's unbelievable, yeah. And, you know, I have to say, and I don't know if you've seen the follow-up series we did, you know, because Abby and I felt like, you know, this movie kept having this life after it was released. And, you know, we decided to do a follow-up series, which is more of an educational tool. It's like a four-part series where we go deeper on VBAC, which is vaginal birth after cesarean, which is a very difficult thing to have done here in this country because of, you know, insurance and malpractice and hospital rules. So it's really for people that want more information. We did a whole thing on C-sections, on doulas, and we had all these incredible high-profile moms, like Cindy Crawford, Giselle Bundchen, Alanis Morissette, Allison Hannigan, Christy Turlington, all these amazing, amazing women who came forward to talk about their incredible birth experiences, many in hospital, many at home. And, again, it's like having these great positive stories are so great to hear when you're pregnant, you know, rather than the scary, you know, ones that some people like to share. So it's been just an incredible project of love, you know, to put all this information out there for women.
I think it's really it's phenomenal. And one of the installments in More Business in Being Born, you sat down with Ida Mae Gaskin, director of the farm community in Summertown. Now that was really interesting to me. One of the points that I took from that she was kind of bringing up was, you know, all these cocktail mixtures of drugs that we're, you know, putting in during the delivery process. We don't really know what they're doing.
Right. Well, we don't know the long-term effects, you know, and you know, yes, it's like you think about autism and all these ailments that we, you know, that weren't talked about in whatever the 60s or 70s,
right.
You know, and I'm not claiming that there's a connection at all because I don't know, but we do have to look at these drugs that are given to women, you know, and the philosophy that when during your pregnancy you don't even take an aspirin because you don't want to do anything to compromise the fetus,
right.
Sure. But yet you go into a hospital setting when you're in labor, they hook you up to an IV, they're giving you, you know, Pitocin and all these other drugs, you know, where that theory is just thrown out the window, it seems.
Well, and it was so surprising to me to know that in other countries, it's like 70-80% is all midwives, and then the amount of drugs that we're giving these women, and then the drugs, they find out after the 90s that it's not okay, and the infant death rate, it was astounding to me that more people don't know, and they're not aware of this. And it's kind of sad to me.
It is, but we're changing that, I think. You know, it's
absolutely.
Just like one person. And I really encourage women to share their great birth stories. You know, if they have a great doctor or a great care provider that treated them like a person and not a number, you know, to share that story with their friends in their local, you know, neighborhood, that they, you know, because that'll, you know, when we can fight for what we want, you know, the consumer has a lot of power, and when we know more, we can create change and really change the system so that everyone can feel empowered during this most precious time in their lives.
And I love the fact too in this documentary that you call like designer birth with C-sections, and something I've noticed, I remember being a kid and like the C-section was kind of like, oh, something happened, and it was kind of almost an emergency, so you had to have a C-section. And now everyone I know is having a C-section, it seems. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, what changed that people now are scheduling the birth of their child?
Yeah, it's all the rage, it seems. I don't know. I mean, I think it's changing. But the idea that, you know, women think that it's easier or, you know, easier on your body or your, you know, your vagina stays intact. I guess that's guaranteed pretty much if your baby doesn't come out your vagina. But you know, it's major abdominal surgery that
right.
takes a really long time to recover from. It's, you know, in many cases you can't even hold your baby for a while, which interrupts, you know, the potential of breastfeeding and bonding. And, you know, I mean, you're on painkillers. I mean, it doesn't sound appealing to me. But then again, there are women out there that want to know when they're, you know, the day that they can schedule their baby being born, and you know, they can have their nails done and their whatever, you know. In many cases, it is medically necessary. So, you know,
right.
if you need a C-section, I mean, certainly it's great that you can be in a country where it's pretty much very safe to have it done here.
Absolutely.
But I'm really grateful that I didn't have to have that surgery.
You know,
I always thought that was the way to go because I could get a tummy tuck at the same time and everything would be bada boom, bada bing, good as new or even better. But when I saw in Businesses Being Born that if you just use oil and if you take your time that they don't have to cut you and that it just you naturally stretch there, I thought that was a much better option.
Yeah, I'll share some information about me. I mean, maybe it's too much information, but during my second birth, which the one you see in the film, I pushed for 13 minutes, 3 contractions, and my midwife came back and checked me the next day or something and did a checkup and said that it didn't even look like I had a baby. I mean, when you're in water, it's very gentle on your body, you know, and the baby. But for me, I mean, you know, yes, I pushed out an 8-pound baby and didn't even look 24 hours later like I'd had one.
Well,
so,
one of the things I noticed, too, like the minute you pushed out the baby, like every mom stopped. Like the pain, it just looked like the pain stopped and you all were just so in love. And when she's like, grab the baby, and you had the baby on your chest, I was just moving.
Oh
and
my
amazing.
God! I still, it. I mean, just you even talking about it. You know, that baby is 12 years old. It's a really long time ago. My sons are 16 and 12, and it's like it was yesterday. You know, it's like that moment. That I mean, it really, and I, you know, it's a very heavy, intense thing for me as a woman, someone who beat myself up about my body my whole life. You know, I was obese for much of my, you know, early adult years. I've struggled with my weight. You know, that in that moment when you see what your body is able to do on its own, there is an incredible sense of healing that takes place, or at least happened to me. So it went beyond becoming a mother. It went beyond, you know, like having this, like, you know, this ability to pat myself on the back for doing something. I mean, it really was like a healing. And again, I'm so grateful to have had that chance to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing to watch. So I can't even imagine what it was like to live through it. And I find it, you know, after talking to my friend with the home birth, the thing that's really interesting to me is, like, compare, because you had the first baby in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
second baby at home, it had to be so much more comfortable being home and having the baby and being able to bond and not having the nurses.
It was awesome. I mean, one thing that happened after, you know, after I gave birth in the bathtub, I remember staying in the tub for, I don't know, I delivered the placenta in the tub, so it was probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes. And then we got up and I, you know, rinsed myself off, got in my bed, the whole time, like, holding my baby, got into bed with my son, you know, and we, you know, were bonding, and he was breastfeeding a little, and my midwife, I don't know, it must have been an hour or so after he was born, she asked my permission to check him over, you know, to weigh him and do his vitals, and I couldn't believe it. It's like the idea of that happening in a hospital where they ask permission to the patient for anything. It was just a lovely gesture, you know. And she did it right on the bed. You know, she brought out like a fish scale and weighed him in front of me. And, you know, it was all just very loving and gentle and no bright lights and, you know, no people with gloves. You know, I guess she did have gloves on, but it wasn't like this crazy, sterile, weird, you know, I don't know. It just not intimate. You know, being at home was just so great. I wouldn't change a thing about it.
It really is amazing. And that kind of leads me into my next question is, you know, in your book that you wrote about a year ago, Never Say Never, Finding a Life That Fits, you have an incredible story of reinventing yourself. So what's next for you, Ricky Lake?
That is a really good question. I mean, I'm really, you know, I finished shooting the show in March, and we went off the air in September. And I'm currently working on a couple projects, you know, one with Abby, my partner from the Business Being Born series. We're making a documentary that my husband's also working on about integrative medicine. And it's been really interesting. I mean, it's really hard because I'm not in a position to finance another film. And so I've been financing it thus far, and I just can't keep doing it. I don't have a job anymore. I describe myself as fun-employed. You know, so I'm not. So we've cut it. We've shot a bunch, and it's fascinating. We cover cannabis as you know, an option for alternative treatment to cancers and all kinds of other stuff. But we're also focusing on other modalities, and it's really exciting. Again, it's like what I'd love to do is bring this kind of information to an audience in a upscale kind of way, or that's the wrong word, like a. Where I'm not telling people what to do. It's very kind of easy to swallow information. That's hi, my husband just walked in. I'm doing a radio show. Awesome. But I'm also, you know, I also have this project called Breast Milk that Abby and I are executive producing, which again is like, you know, information for women who are having children, thinking of having children, and the issue of breastfeeding, and which is so important. You know, it really is. Yeah, so it's a great project that I'm actually coming to New York next week to promote, which it's premiering at the Doc near NYC Doc New York Film Festival. I think that's the name of it, and it's a wonderful first-time director, and the film is it's a great complement to the movies we've already made, you know, and to be promoting it and premiering it under the umbrella of The Business of Being Born.
Now, is it going to be like talking about breastfeeding into like toddler stage and as the children get older?
It's really early on. It's really early on, but it definitely it touches on that. But it's really, you know, the complications, the stigma, the
right.
Heart, you know, how tough it is with working moms, and
right.
You know, and how it's such a personal thing, and women beat themselves up when they have complications with it, which, you know, a lot of the times there are sort of issues and things that come up, you know, sometimes because of the birth experience. So we cover all of it in this film, and it's really enlightening information that I think, you know, needs to be heard.
I think it definitely does.
Started.
We've talked so many times on the show about the stigma of women, you know, breastfeeding on the subway or wherever, and people, like, having this horrible reaction. And, you know, again, like having the daycare, like I have moms coming in on their lunch break, breastfeeding, you know, they'll come in the morning and breastfeed before they leave, they come lunch break when they get back. And, you know, I have a mom now and her baby is going to be 2, and she's still breastfeeding. And I think it's fantastic. And the difference between a child that's breastfed, you know, and she's lucky enough to be able to do it and, you know, didn't have milk production issues, it's just amazing, you know, and to see the developmental growth of this child kind of exceed what a child that was on formula is just kind of amazing. So think if you can do it, you know, it's great.
Yeah. Well, and I think if we as a society can make it easier for women to do it, you know, both
right.
in the workforce and, you know, the stigma, you know, it's like the idea that it's like sexual in any way sexual or, you know, I just don't get it. But,
no, me neither.
You know, but again, I think this film is going to shed some light and definitely get a conversation started. I mean, just the poster alone. I don't know if you've seen the poster, but it's like a woman squirting breast milk from her ass.
Yes.
So it's provocative. It's definitely provocative. and I love, I mean, that's what I love about what I get to do with my career is like pushing the envelope a little bit, you know, and for a reason, for a cause, you know. And it's thrilling.
And no, I think that's great. I mean, we need to be able to sort of bring light to these hot button issues that need to be talked about.
And not just in like a, you know, 5 minutes of The View with
Goldberg,
you know, I mean, God love those women, but it's great when you can actually really delve into something that, you know, that society is, you know, it wants to know more about, you know.
I think it's definitely such a big thing. And it's so great that there's now these videos because, you know, especially like in daycare fields or, you know, anybody that works with kids and you have expecting moms and they have questions and they come to you and it's great to be able to say, you need to go watch this video because mm-hmm. it's going to help answer a lot of questions, especially about home birth or breastfeeding. Like, I think it's great and I think it's a tool that I would hope, and I know I'm pushing for it in the training things for daycare, that, you know, we can offer these videos to women, especially that call in and have questions or, you know, they come on interviews and they're expecting their first child and they just, you know, they just start asking because they're like, you're a child care provider, so you've got to have answers.
Right. No, I agree. And one thing, you know, we were able to do is make an educational version of The Business of Being Born with the help of Choices in Childbirth. They helped us cut, like, I think it's a 28-minute version of the film with a study guide that's now being taught all over colleges and universities in the country. So in women's studies class, ethics class, medical school, nursing school, I mean, it's so great to be able to reach, you know, people before they are even thinking of planning to have a family. So it's awesome.
No, it really is. It's very educational and informative, and I know that we've got two very career-driven women on our show here, Katrina Johnson and Karen Ashley, who, you know, family is kind of in the back of their mind, but I think it's important that for all women and even men like myself, after watching your films, I have an idea of something that I had no idea even existed. I guess I had a certain image in my head that birth happened in a hospital, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, it can be that way, and you can also change the way in which it's done in the hospital. You know, you really do have rights. Everybody has rights when they go there to speak what, you know, what their wishes are. You sometimes have to fight really hard to get what you want, but it can happen, you know. But thank you. Yeah, I feel like what, you know, the movie really was the film that I wished I had seen when I was first planning to have children. That was really the goal. And so I feel like it's a gift. It's a gift for people that are just starting that process.
Absolutely. And courageous for you to put your name on something like that. You know, I feel like there's so many celebrities that could do so much, and you putting your name on this project, and everybody knows who you are. I don't think there's anybody in the country that doesn't know who Ricky Lake is. So I think it's an amazing thing that you've done for women. And, you know, we applaud you for it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's the thing I'm most proud to put my name on out of anything I've done. I mean, I love that I've had these opportunities with John Waters and my start, you know, making Hairspray and being an actress for so many years. But, I mean, it's really the one project that I you know, that's what I want to be known for is the fact that I was able to you know, shed some light on this very important subject matter.
So, Ricky, I know we are, like, really low on time, but I have to get this in because we've got a lot of really young fans, and also me. I'm an actor. They all are aspiring actors. We want to know, what is your advice for someone who wants to get into the business? Like, what kind of advice can you give them?
I am so bad at giving advice. First of all, I feel like I'm one in a million. I got so lucky. I was in my first year of college in upstate New York. I was miserable. I wanted to get out desperately, and John Waters, like, saved me from that experience. You know, and I didn't really have any formal training. I was, you know, obese, you know, so I became, like, the leading lady as a fat. I mean, my story is not typical. But I think, you know, advice that was given to me by John Waters, he said to me, always stay humble, always stay true to yourself, and don't let any of this all go to your head. You know, it's really trying to keep your feet on the ground and believe in yourself, you know. I think everyone is unique. Everyone has something special about themselves, and they need to, you know, focus on that and believe in themselves.
Absolutely.
Does that sound okay?
Great advice.
I mean, you know, I think that advice that John gave me when I was 18 years old has stayed with me. You know, I feel like I had this extraordinary, you know, incredible life journey. I mean, I love that I've had all these opportunities to reinvent myself, to try new things, to prove myself in different areas. And, you know, I'm still here, and I'm still, my feet are on the ground, and overall I'm really grateful.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
We're so grateful that you joined us.
You guys,
yeah,
it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much, you guys.
Woo! So there you have it, guys. Miss Ricky Lake on Uncensored Radio. As you know, you can listen Monday through Friday. You can go to our website, myuncensoredradio.com, or you can listen on demand on Stitcher, on iTunes. Ricky Lake, oh my gosh! Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks so much to Ricky for being here. Catch you later.